I'm Silva Haripetyan. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Welcome back. You're listening to the Silva Haripetyan Show. We're continuing our conversation with Jasmine Miner, who works as a reporter in Cincinnati.
My name is Jasmine Miner, and I'm a TV news reporter in Cincinnati. And I'm partnering up with Black journalists to launch a campaign called Everything We Can't Say. We realize there's a lot going on in the world right now, from police brutality cases to Black Lives Matter protests. And we've also heard a lot. But there's one group that we really haven't heard from just yet, and that's us. So we created Everything We Can't Say, which is a safe platform for Black journalists to share what they experience behind the scenes. And it's also a chance for the public to hear the very real, raw, and unfiltered perspectives of what doesn't make the front page. So we're calling on all of our colleagues from the East Coast to the West Coast, North and South, every market, every network to join in on this conversation. The process is really simple. All you have to do is go to everythingwecan'tsay.com, click the button, submit a letter, and then we'll ask you a few questions for verification purposes. But after that, you write a first person anonymous. Did I say anonymous? Write an anonymous letter on your experiences at work and outside of it. Those letters will then be read out loud.
I congratulate you and commend you for taking this project on. I'm not going to lie. I looked at it and I was like, dang, why didn't I think of that? You know, so congratulations. It's really amazing. And believe it or not, I speaking for myself, someone who's been in the middle of it, so someone who's experienced all of it, which, by the way, in a even though I have, again, I always preface, I'm still privileged for not having experienced some of the things that, mm-hmm. you know, you do. But it's been so important to feel acknowledged, to feel like you're human. You know, like just this last week, we saw Sarah Snyder on CNN have a moment, right? She broke down crying. And that's just,
you know, this is the 10th hospital that I have been. I'm sorry.
CNN Sarah Snyder breaks down on live television, reporting on the COVID-19 deaths.
I apologize. I'm going to try to get through this. This is the 10th hospital that I have been in. It's really hard to take. I'm sorry, Allison.
I don't know how you were trained, but when I was trained, you didn't show emotion, right? Your emotion was in your story. You didn't. You as a person, you're delivering the news. You don't show emotion, but at the end of the day, if we as journalists, if we stop feeling, then we don't have the humanity that's necessary to actually tell the story that the audience will connect with and understand. And I think we have to have an outlet. We have to have a safe space. And the fact that retaliation, and I'm having you talk about it. I know it. I've experienced it. I've lived it. The fact that we are acknowledging that there is no space for some people to actually do that, and you've created that, I think is going to make a world of difference. It's could potentially even save some careers. So proud of you. I
really do hope so. You know, and it's funny because I of course had a ton of Black journalists reach out, but also white journalists and kind of say, hey, how can we support? How can right. we, what can we do? And one posed a question asking, what are some terms and phrases that white journalists have been using or you've seen us using that we need to do better when describing communities of color? And so that's one of the questions that I'll pose for, you know, Black journalists to sort of answer mm-hmm. through their letters.
I know there is a level of courage in you that isn't in everybody else, just by the sheer fact that you've created this project. And I know that there is a support system around you within your own family and your own life and the organization that you work for that has allowed you to do this. But there are so many of us, so many people like you that are not in that place. What do you want to say to them?
That it's okay, that you're not alone in this place, that the experience, the obstacles that you're having or did have or currently going through, it's okay. It's okay to feel emotion when you watch that George Floyd video or the Breonna Taylor or Ahmaud Arbery, right? It's okay to feel. When I watched Sarah Snyder on CNN, I watched. I happened to be watching at the time when I first saw that her live shot, and I felt what she felt. I felt her. And I wanted, you know, I've only met her once, but if I was there in person, I would tell her, it's okay. Because there are people, there are journalists who need to hear that, who need to see that from someone like you, who feel what you feel. And what I really want people to know, if you don't have that support system, that everything we can't say, we are here to support you. We are here to be with you. We are standing beside you. That when you share your story, you are not just venting. You are not just putting it down on paper and it goes inside some black hole. You are empowering yourself. You are empowering others. And you're also teaching others at the same time, and you are part of the greater good. That is, let us all do some really great journalism, right? That's what we all want. And I want people to feel that this project is solely dependent on people sharing their stories, right? And the more you do that, the more stories that are shared, the more stories that are submitted and written and put in our Instagram messages or whatever way people reach out to us, the more that happens, the more change we're going to see. And that's what I want people to see. There is not a certain feeling you need to have. If you have one sentence to write, you can write that. If you have three paragraphs, you can write that. If you've got a couple of pages, yeah. There, I have not put any limit on it. It is for your experience. It is for your benefit. And that's it. And really, I personally and the project as a whole is here to serve. We are here to be a service, and we are here to inspire, to encourage, and to empower. And I truly believe wholeheartedly that if we can do that, we're going to see change on a massive level, on a good, positive level that goes so far beyond just those who work in media. And to me, even though I think doing this project, I definitely had times where I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure about it. Will it work? Will it not? I went back and forth for a long time on it. But what gives me courage and what really said, you know, we got to put this together was reading those letters. And I said, all right, it's not a super fancy project. It's not this huge production. It's actually very straightforward. It's actually a very simple process. But those letters, they sell themselves.
They are incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful.
I think that needs to be heard. And so my message is that it's okay. We are here to serve you.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for that. And, you know, I recognize that in you because I know what I had to go through to get myself to a point of sharing that video. That's why I wanted you to see it, is because I know the process I had to go through to publicly, you know, in this case, people are sending it anonymously, but you are publicly sort of talking about it. You are the conduit. Mm-hmm. So and that takes a different level of self-awareness and courage that, you know, it's been really rough. It's been a rough 5, 6, 7 years. You know, I remember covering presidential campaigns and came back and I told my managers, I've never been afraid of covering a story before. I worked in the streets of Detroit. Mm-hmm. I've never been afraid of covering a story. And I feared for my life covering those rallies. Mm-hmm. And simply because of the whole fake news thing. And I cannot even imagine what my black and brown brothers and sisters felt covering those rallies.
Yeah.
So it for me, it started there, the anxiety of, and continuously sort of snowballing down in the last few years. And then we saw George Floyd, and then we saw the protests, and then we saw, and when you're in it and you're covering it, it takes so much out of you. So thank you for talking to me. I've purposely sort of drawn out this conversation and this interview to allow people to process what we're saying. We're not, you know, if you're not a journalist and if you're just listening and this is the first time you're hearing about what we do, we're not asking you to agree with us. We're not asking you to support us. We're not asking you to determine whether we're the right or the left. We're asking you to consider us as human beings, because if we can't do our jobs, then you're not going to get your news, essentially. If we're not okay, right? If we're not okay, you're not going to have all the voices represented and all the perspectives that are necessary for you to make a determination of what it is that you want to believe. And that's what this entire country was built on. So yeah. Thank you so much.
And that impacts the history that's written down, right? That Absolutely. Impacts what's recorded, what's taught in our schools. If you want to change certain stereotypes, the news is a very powerful factor in that.
Have you gotten anything that's made you take a breath? Have you read a letter that's made you kind of go?
And I think we've all faced a certain level of assault out in the field in some way. But I think the one that probably tugged at my heart the most is there was a photographer who had written in, his company had given everyone at the station these little cards, these profile cards. And on the card, it explained what type of viewer watched the station. So, you know, it was mostly white women in this age group, this type of person, right? And the whole point of getting the card was, this is who your viewer is, and this is who your story needs to be about. That, you know, even though that's not a situation where someone's, their life is at stake, or, you know, they're in an unsafe situation or something extreme, I think about how much power that has. I think about how many stations across the country that company owns. And I think about how many people are watching that. And if the only stories you tell are about white, you know, ages, I think they said like 30 to 35 to 50, right, and in specific neighborhoods, how are you doing everything else? And that really set me in, because I had no idea that was even a thing, that an organization would actually say, this is your target audience, right?
I remember that conversation. I remember a conversation where in a newsroom meeting where they said, this is the demographic that watches the 5 o'clock. But this is the demographic that watches the 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So for the 5 o'clock, this is where you will be and this is what you'll cover, which is a very different part of town. Then for 6 o'clock, this is where you'll be and this is what you'll cover. It was a completely different part of town. Let's just say one's downtown and one's in the suburbs. So you get the picture, right?
Right.
So serving the viewer, right? Which at the end of the day, I get it. But at the same time, like, I think this year has made it very clear that if we don't speak up and if we continue to stay silent and if we don't cover all perspectives, we've seen what happens.
Yeah. And at the same time, you know, even though that is the demographic, are we really doing a service to those viewers? Are we really serving them? Because the whole point of, you know, journalism is to showcase things that people may not know, right? Like in every story we do, we always want to find, you know, this is the reason why we're showing you this, because right. you don't already know this information, right? We're bringing you new things.
Right.
So if you're not able to share perspectives, if you're not able to showcase inclusion and diversity and the way things can impact, like the pandemic, in different communities, you are therefore doing a disservice, because you're not actually giving someone something new. You're just giving them one type of way of thinking. And the problem is, that's not how the world works.
One more question, and I'm going to let you go. How are you holding up? How are you doing?
You know, I'm okay. I'm okay. It was a rough year. It really was. It was a very emotional, devastating year. And I had to, you know, even though, you know, I am a person of color, I still had to take a step back and say, how can I be better? Right? Because clearly, me just, you know, and I'm a morning reporter, so sometimes I get assigned to a lot of crime, right? And I had to really think about, what am I showcasing here? And is it good enough, right? Yeah. Is this really up to the standard that it needs to be? And the truth is that I had to take a step back and be like, you know what, you gotta step it up. You gotta make this voice heard. You gotta fight to make sure that, you know, we don't show the mugshot of the victim in a shooting, you know, and the mugshot 95% of the time is a black man, right? So it's things like that. And so this honestly, even though this project is definitely to serve by serving, it has definitely uplifted me. I think there is a natural sense of encouragement, self-encouragement that people get when you give.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, you're creating a sense of community and essentially telling yourself that you're certainly not alone by telling everybody else that they're not alone, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with you. I've had to do the same. Like, how can I be better? How can I do more? How can I, and part of, you know, what I can do and I'm privileged to do is not working for a specific organization, is having these hard and difficult conversations with people, you know, and creating a platform where we can talk about these things, where we are addressing things that are hard to address, and to say, yes, I experienced this, but I still believe and know that I am privileged in that space, you know?
Yeah. And I hope, because I know eventually, you know, organizations, networks, industry will sort of catch on to the project or have seen it. I really hope that when they do look at it, they see it in a way of, you know, this is actually really needed, and not push it, you know, to the corner and to the side. But, you know, and I think that's definitely a risk that I decided to take. And I think this is just too important. And so I really hope that is something that is well received. And I think that when people follow it, there might be managers, organizations that say, okay, let me listen here and let me figure out how we ourselves can do better. And I think they're gonna find that. I really, really do.
Yeah. It is important and it is a risk. This is why I said I commend your courage. Just know that I'm here for you, and you have my number if you need anything.
Thank you so much.
I said, I have been in this business for a very long time and know a lot of people, so I know how things go. Thank you, Jasmine, for taking time out of your day to join us. You know, for those of you who don't know, she gets up like at 2 o'clock in the morning. Did I get that right? At 2?
Yes.
At 2 o'clock in the morning. So she's talking to me in the afternoon. Thanks for staying awake super late for us today. And for those of you who want to find us and want to send me some story ideas, you can find me on social media. Otherwise, find us at your favorite podcast platform. We'll see you next time.
I'm Silvahara Pedion. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.